We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary, see your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 81st episode of the longest tenured Denver Nuggets spin-off podcast in the world. Welcome to the DNVR Nuggets' Serbian Corner. My name is Miroslav Ciuk, and I'm returning to this show after 3 weeks, and I'm now trying to do some producing live, okay? After 3 weeks, and the break was more than justified. If you follow me on Twitter, which watch Serbian television or read Serbian internet portals, you probably noticed I spent a week in Mile High trying to gather as many impressions of Colorado and its biggest city, Denver. By the way, do you know that the word Denver means Denver, which in French means from Anvers, a French name for a Belgian city of Antwerpen, one of the most important European seaports? I bet some of you didn't know that. Anyway, thanks to my great friend and host, Adam Ares, but also an impressive number of co-hosts, I'll be speaking to two of them today. I've tasted a bunch of things I never did, seen animals shown to me before only by Sir David Attenborough, and talked to an insane number of super friendly people that made Denver the most hospitable city I've visited in my life. And I've been around for a while, you know. During the trip, I got a lot of support from all sides of the world. Also, I have several new Patreon supporters, and that is the most direct way to support my insane path of engineer by day that got to get one Oh Chao from the best basketball player in the history of the known universe. So I'd like to thank Brandon, aka Calvin Boot, Billie Jean Martin, Hannah Garrett, Daniel Lynch, and Pavle Mihailovic. You guys are incredible and my biggest support on my way to another Mile High Miro adventure at some point in the future. Anyway, while I was in Colorado, the Nuggets won 3 and lost 1 game against the Lakers. And since I left, they are 1-1, so there's no real correlation, except they're no longer undefeated at home. The Lakers were a very formidable first-round opponent, but nothing more than that. We got a great series of MPJ and Aaron Gordon. Let me remove this. Where was I? You can realize I'm reading right now. Great effort on not great shooting from KCP, an underwhelming series by Jamal Murray, who did save the day twice with his game winners, and Nikola Jokic, who did deliver huge numbers, but it felt like laboring since his running teammate didn't put enough pressure on the opponent. All in all, enough for a 5-game series versus the team of the past, the Los Angeles Lakers. Last night at Ball Arena, the Timberwolves came to play. They got a huge lead early. I believe it was 18-4 at the 5-minute mark of the first. To better understand how abysmal was the Nuggets offense in those moments, I'll tell you that they were down 14 while the Wolves were under 50% from the field. Enters Reggie Jackson, and we got the best stint from him since he joined this team a year and a half ago. He played great defense and was hitting both layups after going downhill and contested three-point shots. By the way, that's actually a hyperbole. He actually hit one of each for 5 points. Still, it looked really awesome. Nuggets were actually up 2 at the end of first period and held on to that lead until late in the third quarter. Jamal, who had 0 points in the first half, managed to score 17 in the second, hitting some tough shots in the process. Minnesota caught fire again in the fourth, thanks to Naz Reid's 14 and Anthony Edwards' 12 points in the last period. Denver hit a couple of three-pointers late in the game, but that was enough only for a single-digit loss in game one at home, in part because the Timberwolves hit some lucky shots down the stretch. We'll get deeper into the weeds of this game in a moment. It is time to introduce my guests for today. So, thanks to my first guest for today, I got to taste a pretty spicy ginger beer, but since I was drinking it from a straw, there was no buzz in it whatsoever. So I was able to follow a pretty enticing existential conversation we had in a bar near Denver. He is the host of the Denver Stiffs show and one of my favorite Nuggets debaters, but most importantly, my good friend, Mr. Gordon Gross. Welcome back to the show, Gordon.
Hey there, Mira. How you doing?
Well, I was better this time yesterday, but yeah. You know, it's basketball. It's basketball, so you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, we knew it wasn't going to be as much of a role this year as it was last year. We knew that. So it's annoying for that to show up in game one. But if they'd split them going to Minnesota, I would not have been stressing. So get back to me after Monday night, and we'll tell you how I'm feeling.
Yeah, everybody who predicted like Nuggets in seven can feel pretty, you know, good about game one, because like it makes sense. You'll lose some games in the past. Problem with me is I predicted Nuggets in five. So now I feel
so like, now the pressure's on for you. Now they gotta go do the rest of it. I understand.
I'm in a pressure cooker. Yeah, that's right. So yeah. What you gonna do? Okay. My second guest showed me Blucifer, and it is still beside me. Why would anybody make a statue of a horse with such a bizarre backstory? He also showed me the specialties of Louisiana cuisine and explained to me why eating at Denny's might not be the best idea ever. He is the host of his new podcast. I wonder if he's going to share it with us. He's a former host of The Dig, and I will never stop bugging him about restarting that very artistic Nuggets podcast. My friend and super swell guy, it's Nick Herzog. Welcome back,
Miro. How's it going, buddy? Just so you know, the level of love that I have for you, I was really close to bailing on this because I'm still getting over COVID a little bit. So apologies if I do any sniffling or coughing, but I didn't want to let you down, and I always enjoy any time I get to spend with both of you. So here I
am. Thank you so much.
But forgive me if I'm a little low energy today.
Oh, it's
I'm going to try to bring it better than the Nuggets did last night. But
there you go.
We'll see.
You have a pretty good chance of that, by the way. And, you know, when in need, just use the mute button. Mute button is your friend while you're having a cold. Okay, so, guys, it is what it is. Nuggets are trailing in the playoff series for the first time in 2 years. So it is something that we, you know, used to know how it feels like until these two seasons. It's been a feeling we've had many, many times. But let's start with Gordon. How do you feel about the Nuggets as a whole right now after seeing 6 playoff games so far?
Underwhelmed. And they've just set such a high standard chasing their first title that they brought it every game. And when they got beaten, it was simply that the other team played very well and the Nuggets made a couple mistakes and they just looked at it and said, we're going to clean that up. And in this case, I mean, it's somewhat similar. The game was tied at 84 with 6 minutes to go, right? So after that, the Timberwolves scored 22 points in 6 minutes. That's normally the Nuggets thing to close out games, but they didn't. They didn't find a way to stop Minnesota. Minnesota wanted that one bad. And the Nuggets didn't play like they did want it that bad. Anytime you come out in a series and you fall down by 14 points, and they've been falling down in these playoffs every game. Every game they trail. And it's one of these things where they have not come out of the gate like they're serious yet. And maybe they won't. I don't know. They could still win without being serious, which is amazing and also frustrating. But the Wolves are very, very serious, and they feel like this is their time. They've got everybody they feel like they need, and the Nuggets are going to have to match that intensity. And a title defense is not the same as a title chase, and I don't know how much Denver has in the tank, because Jamal Murray, for particular, does not look like he has a lot right now. He may be regular season Jamal and not playoff Jamal, and the Nuggets will have to make that work.
Oh, we'll definitely expand on Jamal as like our first big topic for today. Nicholas, give me like your 10,000 feet view of the Nuggets after.
Yeah, a lot of similar thoughts to what Gordon said. I predicted Nuggets in seven, and I actually called for them losing one of the first two and then losing game three in Minnesota. So this isn't surprising to me at all, really. But I still feel concerned more than I thought I would by this, to be honest. I feel like they're playing to not lose, and they're instead of to win. And I feel like they were playing to not lose against the Lakers. That was enough, because they are so much better than the Lakers at this point. But I don't think it's going to be enough to beat this team. I think they're going to have to take it from Minnesota. They're not going to be able to win by default.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary. I want to start talking about the elephant in the room, I think, and that's the state of Jamal Murray and the shape he is right now, the health wise. But I'm gonna leave it for the second segment. So let's take one short break, and then we'll dive into serious stuff. Don't go anywhere.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, Gordon. Jamal doesn't look healthy. We know he has a calf strain. It shows on offense, but it especially shows on defense. Before we go into specific of his game last night, I know you have some pretty good insight into like injuries and recovery. What is the usual time frame for a calf strain, like the grade one calf strain, to heal? and what's the best way to do it.
Uh-huh. But it, the problem is a lot of the stuff requires rest, and he's not going to get it. Yeah. Like, he just had 4 or 5 days off, and he barely practiced, and he still didn't have any speed or acceleration that you would normally expect to see from Jamal. So if he didn't have it after 5 days, he's not going to have to after one day, which is what he's going to have going into Monday. The problem is shin splints are on the front half of your – on the front of your leg, and calf strains on the back of your leg. So if you can't push off and you can't step back, what do you plan to do? So the shin splints were always going to be a management problem until the end of the playoffs. That's something that's going to have to heal in the offseason. Mm-hmm. It's going to take 3, 4, 5 weeks of not doing much. And I don't know if he's going to get that, if he's going to go play for Team Canada. So it's for right now, this is the Murray they've got. And the Murray they've got has shot making in big moments, but not a lot of acceleration, not a lot of drive. He's not going to be finishing a ton of things, although you saw him jam one in LeBron's face. So it's not like he can't get up when he wants to. But it's he's going to have to pick his moments. And I think part of Denver's problem in these playoffs so far has been Nikola deciding that he is an equal partner with Jamal, which is what he was in last playoffs. But Jamal can't do that in these playoffs. So he needs to – I hate to ask Jokic to do even more than he already does. But in order for them to win, he's going to have to. Because right now, the guy who's showing up for him is Michael Porter. And Michael got 13 shots last night, right? So, like, on 13 shots, that's not enough firepower to beat anybody. So, if they're not going to feed Mike, then it's going to be up to Jokic to do this. Because Murray is going to be regular season Murray. And that there's nothing wrong with that. The Nuggets won 57 games with regular season Murray. And Murray missed, you know, 20 games this year or whatever. So that's not a – it's not an insurmountable problem. But expecting him to be the greatest playoff riser in history again while his legs don't work right is asking too much of Jamal, in my opinion. And they need to figure out an alternate path. And that path probably involves Jokic being more aggressive than he has been.
Yeah, we're not going to get – a 50-point Murray game, I don't think, in this series, right. At least. Probably not in this playoffs. I don't think he has the ability. I don't think he's physically capable of doing that, no matter how much he wants to. I think we saw him turn it on in the second half last night. The third quarter, he started getting it going, especially. Right. And you could see that he was sort of trying to, like, will himself into it, into having a Murray flurry, right? And he just couldn't sustain it. It's just not there. Like, he's just, there's something missing, whether it's something physically that's missing or some sort of internal kind of motivation thing. I don't think that's what it is. I think it's most likely it's physical. But there, I think, to echo what you said, I don't think we can rely on Murray to be the second guy this series or the guy this series. So then my question is, what do you do about that? Right? Like, where does that leave us? As you said, does that mean more on Jokic, more on MPJ? Obviously, it would mean that. I kind of think Jokic is going to have to be the one that's going to just sort of carry them to this win. Like, I think he's going to be the one that might need a 50-point game in this series. He's probably going to be the one that's going to need to take 30 shots in some of these games. And MPJ also is obviously going to have to get a greater workload. I think MPJ is ready to take the step, though. That's what I'm excited about. I think he's been their best consistent energy, effort, and performance guy. Probably, I mean, maybe with Jokic, but other than that, for sure, he's been at least the best, or tied for the best that way. So, yeah. So I think, but here's the kind of silver lining on this is that this was never going to be Murray's series. This is an incredibly brutal matchup for him, right? Like, this, I mean, it's a nightmare matchup. He's got bigger guards guarding him that are quicker than him, that can do everything he can physically and more. so he can't pull a lot of the stuff that he gets to pull against other teams using his physicality at the point guard position. So I think that's okay. I think the Nuggets probably already even anticipated that this wasn't going to be the greatest series for Murray, you know, anyways. And so I don't think we need to necessarily lose hope because of this, but I do think there's going to have to be some other guys that are then going to have to make up for that, have to outperform. And even Jokic, I mean, and that's hard to say. He had 32. People are talking about the bad game he had last night. I mean, 32, 8-9 or whatever. Like, and I agree that it didn't feel like a dominant Jokic game, though. Obviously they lost, but they're going to need more. Yeah.
I agree. This was never a Jamal Murray series. But I'm not that concerned on his offensive side here, because I think Nuggets can put 110 points even without Jamal scoring 40. I'm more scared about his defensive performance, which is actually more of a problem right here, because he cannot move laterally as he should be. And he was minus 22 last night. And the Nuggets didn't get destroyed only because of the two great Reggie Jackson stints in the first half. Like, Reggie Jackson was plus 15, and right, he's not going to be plus 15 every time. So something needs to change there. Should Jamal be the primary defender on Jaden McDaniels, since it is obvious? But he's like the least dynamic player of the three. Outside guys.
So here's the problem.
He cannot hang with Mike Conley right now.
Well, that's the problem, yeah. Right? Is if he can't slow
37-year-old Mike Conley.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, 37-year-old Mike Conley's running circles around him, and that's a problem. But your problem is, yes, you could put him on McDaniels, right? And you certainly cannot put him on Ant at all.
Yeah.
So, yes, I guess technically I would put him on McDaniels, because McDaniels is not going to get that many shots. Like, in their offense, the way that it works, that's not his role. But your problem is, whatever he expends on defense, he's not going to have for offense. And so I would rather him stand in the corner and hang out with McDaniels. But you're going to have to find another way to defend Ant. Like, KCP, the bigger failures last night for me were not offensive. Yes, the Nuggets shot poorly. Like, you had Nikola Jokic fail on more shots than you would expect. Like, easy shots. And he had turnovers that he should not have, trying to throw things that worked against L.A. that will not work against Minnesota. But he'll clean that up. I'm not worried about that. The problem was, Aaron Gordon and KCP got worked. They got worked in that game. And that is not going to last. You cannot defeat the Timberwolves if your defensive power forward and your defensive wing defender can't do anything. So, yes, for me, Jamal Murray should be on McDaniels. He's not going to go 0 for 7 again, but he's not going to shoot 18 shots either. But you cannot allow your inside and outside defenders to both get lit up. Like, Naz Reid played like there was no one even on him. It was ridiculous. And sometimes you get hot, but that wasn't what that was. That was a not one for the film room for either of those defensive guys. They're not going to enjoy looking at that.
Surprised we didn't see more Watson last night, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially when Naz Reid was really going off. That seemed like to me to be the counter. But I don't know.
He can't shoot. So the problem is, if you're trailing, it messes up your offense if Peyton Watson's out there, even if Christian Brown's out there. So they're going to have to figure out ways to get those guys to be contributors on offense without being spot-up shooters. And that's what I think they haven't done yet.
It felt like that corner three from Pivot that, like, I don't know what it hit. Like, it wasn't a rim. It was, like, between the rim and backboard. And I think when Malone saw that, he was like, okay, no more P1 today, because they're going to just dare him to shoot. The moment is too big for him. So, Nick, what's the solve? Do you want to decrease Jamal's minutes, like, in favor of Christian Brown or P1? Or what could be the solution there?
I think so. If he can't stay in front of anybody, he's a liability. Ant was cooking him, Connelly. I mean, there's so many ant highlights. I was watching this morning again, just the base like ESPN highlight package.
Oh.
And in almost every highlight, Murray is just getting barbecued. he's not even there. And that was something in the game last night watching it, it didn't jump out at me as much, but on the second watch, it was really noticeable to me, just like how ineffective he was, you know, at all in providing any kind of resistance on the perimeter. So, yeah, I mean, I think at some point, because what's he giving you offensively? Right? I mean, if he's not capable of giving you the big Murray game, then I'd probably take Christian Brown. I'm not, you know, obviously you're not going to like bench Murray, but I think some sort of more limited role makes sense probably moving forward.
Gordon, is that the way to move forward?
Well, the problem is you have to figure out your defense first. The Nuggets were down 14 early. Murray went to the bench. Denver immediately improved. Yeah. Immediately, it wasn't the
mm-hmm. first time though. It's like a third time or fourth time in this, counting the Lakers games as well.
Correct. And again, part of that it's again not Murray's fault. Murray was a dog on defense last year. It's mm-hmm. just that he cannot do the things that he did last year. And if you expect him to, and you play him the 40 plus minutes every game that you expect from him on a normal basis, it's not going to work out. They need to treat Murray like he's on a minutes restriction, so he can go 25 hard minutes and not 40 minutes of jogging. Because 40 minutes of jogging doesn't help him, and it doesn't help Denver. So for me, yeah, I would start figuring out either Watson or Brown, depending on who's out there. Brown was very good against Ant for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He hit a three last night too. It looked pretty good.
Well, yeah, he also made a couple of dumb mistakes. But, you know, again, you're going to have to play through that. That's the problem with having gotten rid of all of your vets on the bench. This is when Calvin Booth said, well, we're playing for Dynasty. This year doesn't matter that much. Well, it matters to us. So,
But also, if that's the case, if you're playing for Dynasty, then you need to play the young guys in the big games, right? That's how they're gonna grow.
This is how they have to learn. So you made this call. This was a call born partly out of cap necessity and partly out of we think we can pull this off and be more like the Spurs, who didn't go back-to-back but still won five of them. You know, the Nuggets ain't going to win five probably, but if you're going to win multiple titles, you got to raise those guys up. Otherwise, what are you doing? And one of the failures of the Malone era, if there are some, is that he has trust guys and non-trust guys. And right now in the playoffs, we're down to like 5.5 guys that he's willing to play. And that's not going to work against the Timberwolves. You have to space it out, because Murray cannot give you 45 minutes a game. So I think they're going to have to give Brown and Watson individually their shots. See who's got it and who doesn't, and you ride whoever's got it. You know, whoever can go out there and give you 100% effort, because right now that effort is what you need to stop those effects. And yes,
yeah,
it'll be playing 5-on-4 on offense, but if anybody's going to be able to do that, it's going to be Nikola Jokic. So make it work.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel this way about every matchup or in every series, but I feel like last night it became very clear to me that this is going to be like a football series. Like this is like a a series of physicality, of gritty defense. I don't think there's going to be high scoring game. Maybe there's like one game where things get kind of break loose or something, but like I think the score about, you know, being around 100 points, a little over maybe, in each game is probably going to be enough. And in those kinds of games, I think I would take my chances with playing your best defensive lineups and just, you know, trying to keep it close to the end and assuming that Jokic is going to be enough to be able to pull out the games in the end. It's essentially going to come down to him and Ant, like who can make the greater one-on-one individual plays at the end of these games. That to me is just kind of where we're inevitably heading if last night was any indication of how the rest of the series is going to look.
I really like Gordon's point about the guys Malone trusts right now, because Reggie, I mean, Reggie was good in his role, but he only played for like 14 minutes last night. Like, even plus 15, Reggie didn't get you know, a longer leash in this game because, you know, Malone is obviously trying to power through with his best guys. It's just that Reggie didn't bring a lot last night, honestly. Like, he made 5 points and had like 3 rebounds and 1 steal. That 1 steal felt like 5 steals at that moment because it was like an injection of
right.
energy to the team. It was literally just energy, nothing else. Jamal cannot bring it, you know, because of limitations he has right now. So yeah, I agree on point.
Yeah, I think it looked great just because of what we were watching before right. that. It was because I thought RJ was almost unplayable in the Lakers series. I thought he was just brutal.
He had a good game. Like that's what you need from him. 14 good minutes from Reggie. I would take that all series. Like, yes, bring me that.
Like, yeah, the problem is fine. Yeah, the problem is it was like how many? 15 points from the bench. It's a tough look. Like when you have Naz Reid hitting 14 points in fourth quarter alone.
Yeah, but again, how often is that going to happen? So yes, Naz Reid is a sixth man of the year, and I know he's very good, but that was an anomaly. That said, that's where Peyton Watson should have been in the game. Like, why are you not defending that guy? Like, that is your role. But Peyton got 6 minutes last night. So there's some stuff that Malone has to work out, too. And now that he's seen how the rotations are going to work out, he cannot allow Minnesota to keep switching on to Jamal Murray at will with Ant and just get demolished. He can't let that happen. And to be fair, it got better in the second half. But those things are not going to work. So Malone's going to have to switch his defensive priorities, and he's going to have to play more defense, which you think he would like. But it does hurt Denver's offense, and they are going to sag. So, you know, both Brown and Watson are going to have to make the shots they have not made all playoffs. They're going to have to.
Okay, note to myself, call this segment trust issues. Okay, let's take one more short break, and we're going to run a bit long today, I'm afraid. So go buckle up, guys. See you.
Well, that was inevitable when Gordon and I were going to be on together.
That's true. Don't go anywhere.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, we are back. KCP played his ass off last night. I really think so. But he couldn't do anything against Ant. And Aaron Gordon was overwhelmed on defense, guarding almost everybody on Minnesota's roster, and also couldn't hang with Ant. He's just not quick enough for that. What did you guys see from Nuggets' best defenders last night, and what do you see with them, you know, going forward?
How many points did Ant have? 42?
Yeah, 42.
Not a lot. Yeah. Yeah. KCP was bouncing off of him. There was a couple highlights where he played great defense. He was bodying him. He was in perfect position, and Ant would roll a shoulder or something, and KCP would just bounce. Like, that's all a player like Ant needs to get separation, to rise up, right? Like, so I don't think KCP can really guard him. As great of a defender as he is. I mean, he's such a good perimeter and help defender too, that like you want him on the court in the series. I'm not saying that he's like unplayable, but this is why I'm just thinking, I think this series might live or die on Christian Brown and Peyton Watson. I hate to say it, but I think those guys are just going to have to get significant more minutes for their defense. And that just means, are we going to get enough offense?
So, Gordon, would like insertion of Christian Brown instead of Jamal Murray in certain periods of game help Aaron Gordon and KCP do their job better on defense?
I think so, but I mean that I would like to see KCP on Mike Conley as opposed to Ant,
mm-hmm.
because yeah. he is a much longer and more tenacious guy, and Mike Conley is not that big. Like, he's a short, you know, veteran. He's become a sharpshooter, which is funny when you think about what he was in Memphis. But the Nuggets have guys that can hang with Conley. You know, what they don't have, and what they didn't have, at least with their starting units, the ones that got smoked in the beginning of the first and the end of the fourth, those are all starters. And those guys got smoked by Ant and Nas because they just didn't have enough big guys. We're going to need more from MPJ on defense because he's got the rebounding that you could use. But he's going to be playing against a three or a four. He cannot help you with, like, the Conleys and the Ants of the world. So the Nuggets, in order to slow down Ant, I believe are going to have to play more Christian Brown. I agree with Nick. Because CB is 6'6". Like, he can at least, and he's athletic.
He's stout, too. He's not going to bounce the way that KCP was off of him.
Right. Well, he plays more like a small forward. So he's not really a guard. So, and in that sense, Peyton Watson's the same way. He's a forward. You know, either of those guys on Ant can hang with Ant. Now, they can't necessarily stop him, but I don't expect anybody to stop him. But at least that way, if you're switching between those two guys on the perimeter, you know, Ant's going to have a lot more trouble getting where he wants to get for his shot than he's going to have against KCP and Jamal Murray. Like, that's the matchups. Those were not working. And so the Nuggets are going to have to pick their spots, but they have to deploy those guys correctly in order to slow down Anthony Edwards. And if he shoots over you, he shoots over you. He's a great player. The thing with Minnesota is you are going to have to beat a collection of great players and great players in their role. Like, they know what to do. They're built the same way Denver is. They know what they're supposed to do. They go out and do it. The disconnect in Minnesota usually happens in the closing minutes when Ant and Cat are both on the floor and they aren't really sure what offense they're running. So they aren't as efficient as Denver is, because Denver always knows what offense they're running. But they certainly worked Denver last game, and part of that was because they could shoot. So you need to make them see the ball clank. They can't just feel like they're just shooting in an open gym like they were last night in those key minutes.
Well, and to build on that, I think one of the things to do with a young team and a young player like Ant is don't let him get off early.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I'm thinking you really probably want to start with, like, HG on Ant, maybe, instead of saving that for the fourth quarter. I mean, they did finally put him on later in the game. Which I understand that you can't – I mean, I don't think AG can guard him all game, so you're going to have to pick your spots. But I'm thinking that these – you can't – first of all, you can't keep spotting good teams 14 points every time you play. Like, this is obviously now caught up to them. They developed a bad habit of this in the Lakers series, and it's caught up to them. And if they continue to do that, this is going to be a quick series. Like, that, I think that's something I'm kind of realizing now, is that this could be over. If they don't, like, I mean, like, we're at a point where, like, they need to fix stuff. And if they don't fix stuff, they can't just, like, they can't just brush this off and go, oh, we just had, like, a bad game. This wasn't just, like, a bad game. This was, like, no, you have some problems that you have to, like, address. And if those problems aren't addressed, right, you could be, you know, swept. I'm not predicting that's going to happen. I'm just saying, like, this is a really, really good Minnesota team. This is the best team they faced in this run. In my opinion. I think getting off to a better start defensively, being locked in from the tip, really focusing on not letting Ant get going from the start, even if that means you let other guys get going, let Cat get going. Who cares? Like, I really I know that guy's a good, like, shooter, offensive player. He's not the killer. He's not the guy. He's not the one that's going to, like, cook you in a 7-game series. So if that means, yeah, like, giving him the reins in the first half or something like that, I think you get a much better outcome than giving Ant, you know, what did he have, like, 20 of their first 32 points or something like that last night?
25 by half, yeah.
25 of 40 or something at one point.
Yep.
Yeah,
of course, and then they're just cooking, and then everybody feeds. The whole team feeds off that energy, right? Because he's obviously their best player. He's the exciting player. He gets the big exciting baskets. So I think that's probably priority number one, is just whatever you have to do, throwing bodies at him, front loading your defense to keep him from getting off early.
I was actually feeling pretty good at the halftime. Of course, the Nuggets were up 4, while and had 25 points at a half, and Jamal had 0, and Joker was like 35% from the field, and they were still up 4 somehow. And I thought they were in a really good place at that moment. But then, unfortunately, in third quarter, like, Cat started hitting shots from Eurostep, and Conley made and when Naz started hitting everything in the fourth. The
slow motion Eurostep.
Was like, oh, God. I mean, honestly, that might be the way to play against Joker. Like play as slow as him and
just get laughably slow. Yeah,
you might get something from it. Yeah. Okay. Let's move to MPJ now, because I don't want to do this like for 2 hours. So let's try to stay on track. So MPJ was very good again. 20.6 rebounds. Yeah. Kudos to him. He's been undoubtedly the second best Nugget in the first 6 games of playoffs. Is this the most we can expect from Mike this season? And if so, can the Nuggets make a deep run if he remains to be their second best player to the end of postseason?
Well, it depends, like, if they're going to beat him, right? Like, the problem is, yeah, Mike had 20 points on, what, 13 shots?
Yeah.
You know, and he's not going to get free throws because Mike doesn't get to the line that much, and that's fine. But if you're only going to give him 13, 14 shots a game, there's only so much that he can do for you. He's been outstanding this playoffs. He's been engaged every game, and not just every game, but like all the possessions, he's trying to make his rotations. He got visibly angry at Christian Brown during an out of bounds sequence where he was trying to pass it into Brown, and Brown is standing out of bounds. And Mike is like, what in the hell are you doing? Get your head in the game. And that's rare for Mike. It's not really Mike's calling card. But Mike is in these games. He knows what he wants to do. But if the Nuggets are going to take advantage of the fact that he's on a shooting tour de force, you know, then they're going to have to give him the basketball. And I don't know that that's going to happen. You would think that would go hand in hand with if Jamal Murray needs to play a little less, and they have Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, either of them or both, on the court, you would think Mike would get more shots. I would like that to happen. So in my opinion, Mike's shot should go up to something like 18. Like, go get that guy 18 shots a game, and then Jokic can take a bunch. And then whenever Murray comes in the game, he can shoot to get hot again. That's fine. But I don't like the idea that Mike has been this good and he's just not touching the ball enough. He didn't touch the ball enough in the fourth quarter again. And I think the Nuggets need to recognize how well he's been playing and continue to promote that and feed that. Because they're going to need more scoring from someone else who's not Jamal. Mike's sitting right there.
Yeah, he really was. He kept him in the game in the first half, I felt like.
Yep.
It seemed like every shot he hit was a huge, like, momentum buster too. He just has that ability. The Lakers series, this happened a number of times too, where he has an ability to rise up with that three at these, like, really key moments, or when there's kind of chaos, or like he can just sort of rise above it, some sort of, like, I don't know. He's like, he's like levitates or something. He's so long, and it There's just something about those shots that just feels backbreaking. This was something I heard from a lot of Lakers fans. You know, saw people just incessantly complaining about Michael Porter Jr. because his shots just felt so big. He just feels like a killer. And, you know, people were saying stuff like, you know, that he like didn't miss all series and stuff. I mean, he shot 48% from three. That's great. But that's not missing. That's not like he misses, but there's just something about his daggers that just feels so killer that it feels like every time he has a big shot, he doesn't miss it.
Yeah. His body blows for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's part of it. And we already kind of said this about, and in agreement with you, Gordon, about his offensive production needing to step up. Obviously, if Jamal is this hampered, and this is just a naturally tough matchup for him, this isn't as nearly a tough match. Nobody, there is no tough matchup for MPJ. That's the beauty of having this Swiss Army knife, sort of 6'11" or whatever, you know, shooting small forward. And this is the series. This is the one where this like you have that guy because he is unguardable by any defense. So even when you're playing a great defense like this, that's the time when the guys that are unguardable have to be unguardable. They have to step up. He's got to be like, I almost think, you know, we need like Kevin Durant, mini Kevin Durant here in this series for them to get through this. Like, he's going to have to probably be closer to like 25, 30 a night. We might need like a real outburst game from MPJ, you know, a game where he takes, I don't know, hits 8 threes or something like that. I think that's the kind of stuff it's going to take. It's going to take these really great individual performances by some of these guys other than Jokic.
And for that to happen, they have to recognize it in the moment. When Jamal was missing against the Lakers, Mike was one of the first guys to be like, keep shooting, keep shooting. Murray needs to return the favor and give the ball to Mike and be like, keep shooting. Like, you know, you're making them, but that's great. Here's another one. Go make this. Here's another one. Go make that. Like, if you're the guy, then the Nuggets need to recognize that and not just leave him hanging for, like, quarters at a time. Because, like you said, that is an important matchup, and it needs to get highlighted, and it needs to be worked on. Press that button until it stops working.
Guys, I hate to be the Debbie Downer here because that's not me normally. But, you know, I would really love for Mike's role to expand. It's just that it's really hard to get him more shots without a dynamic guard in your lineup. And if Jamal cannot play, I don't know who that guard is going to be.
Yeah, but Mike is going to be Reggie pretty well. Like, Mike can do some handoff stuff with Jokic, and he had to in the 20 games that Jamal didn't play. Like, he can do some screening actions, some pick and pop actions. Like, they worked on that during the regular season. I would like to see more of that.
Well, and I think working more inside out, I think more like beast mode Jokic and beast mode AG, sucking the defense in and then freeing up MPJ on the outside. That's why I think it's so vital for Jokic to really be like, I have to get a 40 every game. So, like, that's the mentality he needs to have, and he needs to get them physically, in my opinion.
And from the jump.
Like three-pointers and jump shots, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, physical post-ups, like, just in their face every play, every time down the court, over and over and over again until they eat it. That's what we need here. Like, because that's how they're playing. Like, they punched the Nuggets in the mouth in game one. The Nuggets need to return the favor. That's going to happen in with physical play, I don't think. It's not just going to happen with, like, beautiful, like, passing offense,
right,
like they normally play.
Yeah, it has to be, again, Jokic has been passive because he's been trying to get guys involved. He's like, if I just pass the ball around, life will get better for everyone. We're all a little rusty. It's not quite working. Let me pass the ball around some more. We're done with that. Like, initiate your offense first. Pass off of that. Don't look to pass. And that's what I want to see more of from Jokic, is I'm going to get mine, and that will open the defense up. Because he's been like, well, it doesn't look right. I'll pass it. You're open. You should get this. And that's not working. So go get yours, even if you're doubled, even if it's not optimal. You're the best player on the planet. Go play ball.
And this is kind of a question. Can Jokic be a less smart player? That's basically what we're saying. Like,
wait,
stop.
That's a great tease for segment 4.
Okay.
We're going to do some Jokic talk in segment four. So don't go anywhere. It's going to be awesome. Okay, so we are back. Joker was good, not great for his own insanely high standards. 32 points against the best defensive combination in the league. He was active with his hands on defense, but 7 turnovers and 7 missed three-pointers were back-breaking. Now, he's the guy I would normally be the least worried about going forward in the series. But you know what? I was talking to a friend today who is like super zoomed in on the Nuggets, and we agreed on one thing, and that's like we don't love Joker's body language right now. Like he seems a bit distracted. He seems a bit what's the word? Not super excited to be there. If you get me, like I feel like he realizes the limitations of this squad right now, unless something actually happens in the next game. So, Gordon, what should the Nuggets do to cheer their superstar up and and let him lead them to the promised land?
Well, that, I was talking about that yesterday. I had to do a recap of this game, and it felt like a joyless game. It felt like nobody enjoyed being there. And I mean, this is the playoffs. You're at home. Like, this is the environment that you should be celebrating and enjoying. And it doesn't look like the Nuggets are doing that. I'm not sure if they're going to get that. I'm not sure that they're going to... They're going to have to find their joy by performing well enough to win. And I'm going to need Nikola to get angry, honestly. Like, I need... If you can't play with joy, then play with anger. Like, get out there and play mad. I don't care if you're mad that no one else can help you. I don't care if you're mad that it's come to this. Go get out there and go play with an edge. Because it's going to have to be self-motivated. I don't know that the Nuggets can do anything because they can't lift the burden off of Jokic. That is the problem. They don't have anyone who can do that. The whole point of resting Jamal Murray for 20 games this year, besides getting over injury, was so that hopefully he had something left in the tank in the playoffs. And so far, he hasn't had it. Yes, he won a couple of games with his last-minute shots. He is a deadly last-second shot maker. But to keep it close, that's Jokic's job. Like, it's going to have to be on him for 47 minutes to keep the game within one or two shots so that in the final minute, he and Jamal and MPJ can go ahead and win it. Like, it's going to be on Jokic, and it sucks for him, and I hate it. But there's a reason he's the best player in the world, and he's going to have to do it. And if he can't do it, then the Nuggets are probably going to lose. And that's an unfortunate fact that they are limited. KCP is also limited. Like, I know he practiced a lot, but he's still hurt, from that ankle sprain. So you have guys who, figures are still taped up. Like, nobody's healthy this time of year, but unfortunately, Jokic is just going to have to carry without being happy. And he's going to have to be happy with the result and not the process.
I don't know that I would read into it that he, thinks they don't have a chance to win this series or something like that, no. if that was what this person was implying. I do wonder, though, if there's just, a mental fatigue that's setting in with him. Yeah. That might be what we're seeing here. Just the burden of knowing that he has to be great every single night. Virtually perfect every night. And that is just – he's capable of doing it. He's done it for 4 seasons now or whatever. There's a reason there haven't been 3 MVPs very often in the NBA, right? There's been a lot of great players. I mean, it's been very few that have even done it twice. It's hard to be at the peak of a highly competitive profession for a long period of time. It's easier in bursts, right? It's hard to sustain that. So I think that's probably what we're seeing here. What it might take, though, is the Nuggets being down 0-2. or something like you know, Gordon was talking about him getting angry. That's, I think maybe that's what can motivate that kind of, you know, renewed passion and energy, is being, having your back up against the wall, just, you know, kind of in a do or die situation. I mean, I would, I basically regard tomorrow night as a must win now.
They got to be desperate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There needs to be a sense of desperation there. And so maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough to just kind of get you out of the funk. And then, once you get on a positive roll, you know, if they come out on Monday night and play a great game and win by like 15, and the balls pop in and they look like a much more physically dominant team, that punches back in that game, we could see just a completely different, you know, Jokic moving forward. I mean, maybe he just needs sort of a kickstart mentally. But I have a feeling it's just something to do with the wear of carrying this team for so long.
So the night is darkest just before the dawn. So let's go to the darkest possible night. What if the Nuggets go 0-2 after two home games? Gordon, would that be like the done series, or do you think the Nuggets would still have something up their chamber in that?
No, place? I still don't think. The Nuggets could be down 0-2, and I would still believe Jokic is going to pull this out. Like, I don't have any fear with him until he loses. Like, that's the thing. There are times I look at it and I'm like, okay, you know, not our year. That was the Nuggets versus Phoenix, you know, a couple years ago, right? You know, and he's getting mauled and getting mad. And it wasn't our series. That's fine. I never feel like I'm out of it. That whole series, I was like, eh. You know, if he's – I would never put anything out of reach for Nikola. So – with that being said, let's not go down 0-2. I don't want to manifest that. I don't want him to have to prove it to me. I'm just saying, like, we would have to be in some kind of an 0-3 hole for me to say they don't have a shot in the series.
If we're, I mean, we've seen them do it before.
Yeah.
Right, again, with a less good team. I mean, we've seen them, you know, two series in a row, right? We forget about the bubble already, don't we?
Well, and they haven't forgotten. Like, the thing is, the Nuggets don't panic.
It's the same guys.
Because they've seen it. Like, they know that they could be down 3-1 and come back and win a series because they've done it multiple times. So they don't have those fears. And maybe the fact that they don't fear anything is causing them trouble in this series.
They need some
fear.
They're
not afraid of anything. Yeah. Fear can be healthy. There are times you should fear things. So I don't want the Nuggets to have to create a giant deficit in the series, because they've been doing it in every game so far. I don't want them to create a giant series deficit just so they can feel something and get motivated to play. Go out there and play productively. That's what I'm hoping for. But yeah, they don't fear anything. I don't know why I should fear stuff.
And that's a good test for this team. I mean, I don't know. They really weren't challenged last year. I mean, there really wasn't, right? They never faced an elimination game. There was never a sense that they, they were just better than everybody else. You were going into every game like that. And with the Minnesota series, I think they need to, and they're, well, I mean, they should have it after game one, the mentality that they may not be the better team here, that they may need to just beat them. Like, you can, like, the better team doesn't always win. And in some cases, it's just, it's going to come down to these marginal things, these, you know, incredibly, like, minute details that are going to swing the balance of these games. And
but
so
he's talked about discipline too, right? He's talked about how the Nuggets need to follow the game plan, have your game plan discipline, know who you're playing, play them the right way. He was talking about them going under screens, you know, for Mike Conley, and Mike's destroying them. Like, you should know that by now. Every time you do that to him, he kills you in every single game that you play, and you still keep doing it, you know.
Yeah, and I still trust. I mean, I still have Nuggets in seven because I still trust that they know they have done that before and they know how to do this. Minnesota doesn't. This is their first run. We have to remember that. So last night, they had everything in the world going for them. in that game. Like you said, Ant gets off to this crazy hot start. They're super energized. You know, they were obviously, you know, hyped for this game. They want to take the Nuggets down. They want to take it to them, knock off the champs. They think it's their time, all that stuff. You know, so they have like a narrative behind them that's got them super jazzed up. Obviously, the city is crazy. You know, a lot of people think this is we're seeing Michael Jordan here in Ant, like the rebirth of that kind of a player, which we might be. Of course, you know, when Jordan scored 63 against the Celtics, they lost that series.
Right.
People kind of forget this. Like, it took Jordan a while to become a championship player. He was a great player for years before he ever won. So I think that's, you know, the Nuggets might need to be a little more like bad boy Pistons here just to get through this round. Like, they might have the next new crazy amazing superstar, but that doesn't mean that they're going to win.
Right.
And, yeah. And so I think that's like, I feel like I've been a little more negative on the pod than I necessarily mean to be. It's just that I'm feeling fear for the first time. And that's kind of like inspiring me almost. Like, I'm actually engaged now more than I've been, I feel like, all year. Because, like, yeah, because I'm like, oh crap, we actually could lose this. Like, this is a weird feeling. I forgot what this is like. But that's good. I mean, hopefully that should bring Nuggets something out of the Nuggets, too. Right. It has in the past. So,
yeah, I just miss those like atypical, super powerful 5 seed like Phoenix last year, or 6 seed like Golden State last year, or 7 seed like Los Angeles Lakers. Like, everybody was talking about how great those teams were, and you know, then the Nuggets just kicked all of their asses, and now you got a real proper 3 seed in Warriors that's actually a good team. So yeah, it is a bit more difficult. So let's end on a high note. Give me your optimistic prognosis for this series. Like, what things do you expect to happen in game two that will show us a way for the Nuggets to dispose of Timberwolves for sure?
Yeah, we talked about a little bit of the silver lining earlier. There's a few things. I mean, first of all, they spotted them 14 points. Let's just not do that again. Right? It was a 7-point game. Right? How about you don't spot them 14, you actually start the game ready to play. That already swings last night's game, doesn't it? Even with all the stuff we're talking about that went wrong. There's that. How about Naz Reid not getting 14 points in the fourth quarter? Yeah, sorry, Marcel.
Does that mean, like, changing up your starting lineup? Because there is something, like, the starters' minutes suck in these playoffs. Like, I don't have the lineup data in front of me. I'm pretty sure they have a negative net rating, like, all 5 starters on the court in these playoffs. It's really crazy.
If Murray is as banged up as he seems, why not start with Christian Brown and bring Murray in, you know, I don't know, four 5 minutes in, something like that. This sort of like a kind of Manu Ginobili role for him or something. I don't know. Maybe that's a really hot take. I just said it.
I would expect that to be something that Malone's point of view on changes, especially dramatic changes like lineup changes, is, if you didn't do in game one what I told you to do, then I'm not changing anything two until you do the thing I told you to do in game one and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Do the thing I told you to do, and if that doesn't work, we'll start talking about changes. So.
Yeah. The problem, though, is if they come out the same way and Murray can't stay in front of anybody, they're just going to run it up again in the first. Like, this is the – I think something has to change there. So I don't know what other solutions there are. More bully ball, maybe, to start too. Maybe try to set the tone early that it's going to be a physical slowdown game.
Well, they could always, rather than switching out Murray, which is, you know, your star, you could take KCP and play him more Conley's minutes, and then put Peyton Watson in for defense in the first quarter as a starter and see what happens, or Christian Brown. Like, you could play them at that position.
I would just love them to limit Cat to like 18 minutes in next game because he's constantly on foul trouble. Mm-hmm. Like he had a jump ball foul last night. So let's give him another one in the first possession.
I don't want Cat in foul trouble.
No, I get
no,
that.
No, I don't.
Do you want him on the floor?
I want him on the floor. They're worse with him on the floor.
I agree.
Do not
I agree.
Cat out of the game.
I agree, but the thing is, like, just try to make that front court super slim. Like, let's make them play Naz Reid and Gobert for a lot of minutes, so they get into foul trouble, and then try.
Yeah, maybe I can see the argument for that. It could increase Gobert's minutes then, and then maybe he deals with more fatigue, because I think Jokic. Jokic, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't necessarily see Gobert wearing down in the ends of games the same way like the Lakers did, for example. Like there was a clear issue on that team the last two series with fatigue in the fourth quarters. But yeah, I agree kind of with Gordon. I think that I think Cat's gone probably off this team in the near future. I think he is. There's much better pieces I think to fit them. And they don't need him. So I think they are better in some ways without him right now.
With the thing that the Timberwolves have going, Cat got in immediate foul trouble, and they went to Ant, and Ant demolished us.
Mm-hmm.
When Cat got back in the game, because he wasn't in that much foul trouble anymore, you know, he was then well-rested in the second half, and he came out and went bonkers in the third quarter. I don't want that. Let him run. Let him play the game. Let him and Ant have to figure out which of them is supposed to be in charge as the pressure mounts. Because that's the thing. Nick was talking about it earlier. They haven't had that much pressure on them in these playoffs. They've been monstrously ahead for most of those games. The only game they had pressure on in Phoenix was the final game, which was a tight game, which Ant won by himself because Cat was in foul trouble. Like, so I don't want to have their decisions made easy, make their decision tree harder. And for me, that they are not as good with Cat. So for me, from my optimistic point of view, just go out there and play harder. Punch them. Stop reacting. Make mm-hmm. them react to you. That's the thing that's been pissing me off about the Nuggets the whole playoffs, is they've been a very reactive team. Well, what do you want to do to us? Oh, you're beating us up for the first half. Okay, well, we'll come out and make some changes. Stop doing that. Go dictate to another team what they can and cannot do. Like, the Nuggets last playoffs dictated everything. They were the ones punching first. They made the adjustments first. And I would like to see the Nuggets be a proactive squad. So all I want to see from them is come out from the jump and start doing your stuff. Stop waiting for them to do their stuff.
Yeah, like the idea of I don't like teams that try to game the refs to get an advantage. Period. Mm-hmm. We've seen this be a problem for people over and over and over again. Now, look at Embiid's game every year when he gets to the playoffs. He doesn't get the same whistle. He's not as effective of a player. The other thing is that the whistle is just, it's not in your control. So you don't know from game to game who, you know, what kind of whistle you're going to get. So I don't like the idea of a strategy that's like, we need to try to get X guy in foul trouble because it just may not happen. And then it can totally backfire on you where you've put all this emphasis on going at some guy. They're not giving you the whistle and your whole offense is like out of kilter. I'm kind of wondering this idea that is interesting to me that about the Nuggets being a reactive team. I wonder if isn't that kind of how Jokic plays, right? It's I want to see how the defense is set up against me, and then I will find the weakness in it, right? That's why he's a generational offensive player, but there are certain times or certain matchups maybe in this case where that might not work, or it might not be. It's just not the style of play that's going to be necessary. Partially because they don't have a lot of weaknesses defensively. There isn't a way to just like dissect them in the way that he can other teams. And so it may be necessary that they just and I think again this goes back to Jokic kind of setting that different tone that we might just have to bully ball a little more.
Well, and you go before they're ready. Like, rather than waiting to see if they're going to double, mm-hmm. you go before they double. What do you care what they want to do? You tell them what you're going to do. And that's what I want to see more of from Denver.
They've got to run more. Yeah.
Stop waiting till the final seconds of every play clock. Go. You got to get out in transition. You got to score early in a shot clock sometimes. You got to put pressure on them before they're ready to go, before they have everything set, before they are in their rotations and sunk down. Go make stuff happen. Run around the court and then make some early decisions. Don't just wait. That's what I want to see for game two.
Yeah, I would emphasize defense. Like, the Nuggets just need to stop Minnesota's offense that is not crazy good. Like, they right. just need to make them play in half court and
make them make shots. Yeah.
If they can get a 10-point cushion against Minnesota, let's then see how Naz Reid's shots go in. No, mm-hmm. it's a completely exactly. different story when the game is completely open or the Wolves have a advantage comparing to that situation. So I'm going to end this show with one quote from Nikola Jokic that most people probably missed because it was a question asked by a Serbian journalist, Aleksandar Žigić, last night. He asked him if he thinks that game one loss feels like a catastrophe or is it just one of seven games? And Nikola's response was, people that will tell you that it's just one of the seven games, those people are losers. Like, nice. I think he's taking this to heart. I think, mm-hmm. I hope he realizes how big of a loss game one was and that they need to completely change their mind frame going forward. So that's my hope, and that's why I'm optimistic. Before we go, Nick, are you staying mm-hmm. with Nuggets in seven?
Yeah.
Gordon, what about you?
I had Nuggets in six before they lost game one. I thought they'd lose game two, not game one. I still think it's Nuggets in six.
Nuggets in six. Yeah, I like that. I have a lot of beliefs in my life, and I live by none of them. So I'm going to stick with my...
You had Nuggets in five, right? Five. Yeah, okay, hey. Stick to it until it doesn't work, right?
I absolutely do not believe in it anymore, but you know what? I'm sticking to it because it's what I said.
Hey, they lost game one to the Heat in the finals, right? They beat them in five, so. Was it game two? Okay. Game two,
I was there. Trust me, it was game two. So honestly, the Nuggets, all I will want from them, I'm excited to see because the Wolves are a great team. I want them to bring greatness out in the Nuggets. That's what I want to see.
Yep. Yeah. And that's so how the great teams are. The great teams have always had other great teams that made them great, right?
Yes.
That they had to beat.
Okay, that is all for today. Don't forget to hit that like button on the way out and subscribe to YouTube or podcast channel. There's so much great stuff on it, including pre-game and post-game shows hosted by my buddies Adam Harrison and Brendan, Eric, and Dev. And as I promised a while ago, I'll end the show by shouting out my elite tier supporters on Patreon, Peter Plummer, Daniel Lynch, and Pavel Mihailovic. And I invite everyone who thinks supporting this show is something that makes sense to join my Patreon at patreon.com/UK and get the chance to appear on the show in the off season. More specifically, August and September will be our game show months, so there will be plenty of opportunity to share your Nugget stakes while competing for the most prestigious title of a 2024 Denver Nuggets game show champion. Be safe, be kind to everyone, call your mom, and until next week, Devin Harris.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.